Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 6. I don't know just how far we'll get here tonight. We'll get as far as we get. I'm not going to worry about it. We're looking at this matter of thinking. And you need to understand that God is very concerned about our thoughts. We're working out of the book of Philippians, where in the second chapter it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And in the third chapter, then, "Let this mind be in you. And if you be of any other mind, God will show that to you." And I think he shows that to us through his word. And then in the fourth chapter, "Think on these things." So our mind is not an independent playground where we can just exercise ourselves in any way that we want to do that. We have an interesting thing here in the Gospel of John chapter 6. Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and he sent them home. And the next day, they're thronging around him. And notice what he says to them in verse 26. "Jesus answered them and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled.'" You know, we do the world a great disservice when we begin to believe the essence of Christian work is ministering to the common needs of people. And we need to watch out for that. Not that we shouldn't do those things. You know, the Lord looked out across those 5,000 people and said to his disciples, we should feed these people. They need to eat. It's not, the Lord didn't care about that. But he wasn't looking to get their attention or their allegiance on the basis of that. He was interested in something far deeper. Verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." We read this morning in Proverbs 23, verse 4, "Labor not to be rich." Don't set your attention on those things. There are some bad ideas in this world that just get people in trouble. Let's put it that way. And we are just as apt to get in that trouble if we entertain bad ideas as they are. And bad behavior begins with bad thinking. I thought I'd give you a couple illustrations of that this evening. Do you remember Korah in the wilderness? And he was a Levite. But he thought, you know, who's Aaron and who's Aaron's family think they are that they're monopolizing the priesthood? You know, the rest of us Levites are every bit as good and qualified as they are. And Korah entertained that kind of envy in his own heart and self-interest. And, well, you know what Korah's end was, don't you? You know, he came and he battled with Aaron. Like, Aaron said, what have I done? You know, I've been called of God to do this thing, and now you're upset because I'm doing it, you know, and I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, those kind of things. And so Korah got together with a bunch of people, and the same thing that rascal King Ahab did. Korah got all these guys angry with the priesthood, and they, 250 of them, went down to offer this illegal fire before the temple, you know. And, said fire came down from heaven. I think it's like a lightning strike, killed all of them. And then Moses says, get away from Korah's house. Korah was home. He instigated the whole thing. He sent him out to do the dirty work, but he stayed home. What a rascal he was. And Moses said, "I'll get away from Korah and his household. Just get away from him." And by this time, these people respect Moses and his leadership, and they're backing up. And Korah is probably just absolutely adamant, and he, you know, who knows what he's doing, but he's not fearing Moses at all. And Moses said, "If Korah dies like anybody else does, then I'm not God's servant. But if he dies a death that we've never seen before, we know that God is speaking." And the earth opened up, swallowed Korah and his family and all his goods, and closed back over the top and burped. It just, what a deal. What a deal. And it started with his thoughts. Started with where he was thinking. Esau. You read the story of Esau and read the account of him then in the book of Romans, you will find out that where Esau went wrong was he had a disdain for the things of God. You know, he had that birthright. It was his. And all the promises of God that go with it. What good is that to me? He says, "I'm after that red porridge. I want to go hunting and fishing and do those kind of things that I like to do. And I'm not interested in the promises of God." And Esau was denied any of those things because of his choices. It reminds me of 2 John chapter 2. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The general categories of danger that accompany our thinking is, number one, self-interest. That is something that we're going to have to constantly battle against, is self-interest. And I kind of get a little bit, I'm not apologetic about that, but you do have your personal responsibilities. You know, Ray, you got married. That means you have to provide for your wife. It means you need to provide a home. And you've worked hard at doing that through all these years. And that could be called self-interest. It's not self-interest. That's a responsibility. I think you know how to make the distinction between self-interest, you know, and fulfilling our responsibilities. The other thing is just plain man-centeredness. When we begin to think that all of life rises and falls on us and man needs to do it. Dick, I've got to show you something from Isaiah 45. You missed church. You weren't here when I dealt with Isaiah 45. I couldn't stay away from it. Even in your absence, I had to go there. And I want to show you something I found there that to me is just absolutely delightful. It'll be a repeat for the rest of the congregation, but Dick, this is special just for you, not because you need it, but because you'll enjoy it, okay? In verse 9 of Isaiah 45, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." You know, we're talking here about how God is sovereign and all-powerful. And you look at when Job argued and strove with his maker, and God, to illustrate it, said, "Job, I dare you go grab a dinosaur by the beard. You won't do it again. You'll do that just once." He says, that's like striving with me. "Woe unto man that strives with his maker." But what follows this, Dick, is fantastic. Look, "Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth." You bunch of men, all broken and busted, you fight with yourselves all you want to fight with yourselves, but don't go fighting with me. It won't work. And when I saw that, I thought, what an interesting thing. You know, we fight with one another, and I'm not talking about church struggles so much. I think even our political things, you know, we fight with one another, and he who sits in the heaven laughs. The one who orders everything. Now, that does not release us, again, from responsibility items. But let's understand that there's somebody outside of all of this who orders the events of life. And how much better if we think that way. All right, come with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll talk about how we should police our thoughts. Did I say something wrong, Charlotte? Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, a verse that's so familiar to you. One of the problems with things being familiar is familiarity breeds contempt. And if not contempt, we just overlook it. Yeah, I memorized that when I was a kid. Yeah, I know that. Well, do you live it? Well, what do you mean, live it? I know it. Well, there's a difference between knowing it and living it. So, finally, brethren, by conclusion, he is saying, I have given you nearly four chapters of material here, he says. And now, by conclusion, brethren, whatsoever things are true, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is now, in a very particular way, defining that mind and helping us to walk through it. True. It will not hurt us to spend a little time with that word true and think about it. What is true? Our minds need to be set on what is true. If you were to buy a new hunting rifle, you would want one that shoots true, accurate. And we need to think true and accurate thoughts. Let me give you a little illustration. There was a man in the group of apostles whose name was Judas. But he obviously was not thinking true thoughts. He got to thinking that the issue of life is gain, and he was the treasure. And with those thoughts of gain, the scriptures tell us very clearly that he used to pilfer that money. Why would he do that? I mean, he knew who the Lord was. He'd watched him perform all of those miracles. He knew about his power, his magnificence, his mercy, and his grace. And Judas robbed from him. Judas got into trouble because his thoughts were on gain. Labor not to be rich. Well, if I wasn't going to labor to be rich, why in the world would I labor? I am so glad. I had some experiences in my youth, I think, that formed me in a way that were real helpful in years to come. In my teenage years, I worked hard on the farms of other men who had children my age. Those children all had one or two cows in the herd. And when the monthly dairy check came, they got a check. I worked right along those guys all summer and all winter, and I never got a check. I never got anything. I was never paid for what I did. And I'm so grateful now that I was, because I found out that work wasn't just about being paid. Work is something you do because it's... Bruce is going, well, you can't afford to work if you don't get paid in the end. My dad was buying my shoes, so it worked out. But I really have never looked at jobs as an income base so much as labor is noble, and it's a thing of integrity. You got to be paid to do it or you can't keep doing it. But it's not about that. It's about the job you do. It's about doing it well. It's about doing it with a good attitude. Let me take you to James chapter 4. I always pick on Dick when we go to this portion of Scripture because he has it memorized. And I don't know why you memorize it, but it's a good portion of Scripture, a good one to memorize. Where in verse 13 it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Go to now, incidentally, is not an attractive thing to say. Well, what is wrong with that? You know, I've studied the market. I know what the needs are out there, and I know that if I can go to this town, I can buy and sell and get gain. Man, that's the man-centered side of this thing. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Thinking right is important. There's just so much in the Scriptures about that. And so it begins with whatsoever is good, what is accurate. Now, if you were thinking that way, well, you know, I think I'm going to go down to Phillipsburg and start a candy store. You know, buy and sell and get gain. And you went down there and that candy store flopped on its face, you'd be all discouraged and depressed. But if you said this, well, you know, Lord willing, I'm going to go down there and do that. And you go down there and the Lord's not willing. Well, that's okay. I'll do something else. I'm just doing what I believe God had me to do, you know. This is good thinking. This is just good thinking. Peter got into trouble, all the apostles, because their thoughts were on self-elevation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. They weren't thinking good thoughts. And the Lord gently rebuked them for that. You think? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Don't think that way, Lord. You gotta think positively about this, you know. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I want to ask you this evening, are your thoughts good? Are they straight? Do they meet the criteria of the Bible? Whatsoever things are good, think on these things. And then the second thing, and this is as far as we'll go tonight, find the brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest. The word honest here is used with the idea of honorable and grave. Say, you ought to think this way about life, that all other things being sacrificed, the one thing that I want to do in my life is remain honorable and loyal to God. Whatsoever things are honest, are honorable. In the book of Titus, when we were studying through that, in the second chapter, in the second verse, Paul is telling Titus to teach the aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, charity, and patience, having a sobered and balanced perspective of life. And grave is an important word here. You're talking about being serious about life. There's a place, and the Bible says, laughter does good like a medicine. It does say that. So I'm not saying that there's not a place for lightheartedness among us. But about life, we need to think about the truth of it and the gravity of it and the severity of it and keep our feet firmly set upon the ground. To illustrate that, I want to take you to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. This is the story of three men that you know well. We start at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been commanded to bow down to the image to Belshazzar. Shadrach and Meshach answered and said to the king, O Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They thought it through and came to the conclusion that they were not going to bow down, that God had the ability to deliver them, but if it wasn't God's will to do that, then they would burn. They thought sober and grave thoughts. One of the things that I have learned to do when I come up against things that cause me to fear and worry is go to the very end and look at the furnace that I might end up in and realize God can keep me out of that furnace, but if not, I'll go through it. And you say, you're a fatalist. You're more than melancholy. I don't think so. I think that's thinking soberly about these kind of things. And then when we're done thinking about it, we can laugh. You know, so what? We get to go home early, you know. I don't think Shadrach and Meshach were downhearted at all. They had it over on that king. That king could not control them because God held their hearts. So, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, honorable, and grave, think on these things. Well, our time is gone, and that'll keep you busy this week anyway, just thinking like that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had together tonight. We praise you for the great love wherewith you have loved us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for how instructive it is. And Lord, we need to sit down and take it seriously. We need to think on these things. We need to allow you to order the world of our hearts. Solomon said, my son, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Grant us your grace, Father, to be good keepers of the mind. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.